Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes today. So if you find the Psalms pretty much in the middle of the Bible, take a right. You'll find Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. We'll be reading Ecclesiastes 3 and 4, taking any devotional pauses that I think of, making some applicational thoughts at the end, and then closing in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Ecclesiastes. This section, Father, of Hebrew poetry and wisdom that is not the easiest to relate to, as it seems so negative, pessimistic sometimes. And yet, Lord, I know there are things here that you want us to grasp, understand, and apply. And I pray you'll help us to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Been some songs written, right, about these things. A time for everything. Verse 9, what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Okay, so there's work, there's the desire to enjoy life, find satisfaction in what God has given us. Okay, verse 15, whatever is has already been, what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. I also said to myself, as for humans, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over animals. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the human spirit rises upward and the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? So I saw that there's nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because there that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them? Now understand, this passage of scripture, this is Hebrew poetry. This is Solomon writing and struggling to see a purpose. Now, he does have one. We'll see that at the end of the book. But for now, he's not giving a theological teaching here. He's looking at the way things seem and asking questions. Chapter 4. Again, I looked and saw the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is the one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Sounds a lot like Proverbs, doesn't it? Verse 7. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, no one can help the other up. One can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to heed a warning. The youth may have come from prison to kingship or may have been born in poverty within the kingdom. I saw that all who lived and walked under the sun followed the youth, the king's successor. There was no end to all the people who were before them. But those who came later were not pleased with the successor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So you have this theme here at the beginning of Ecclesiastes. All is vanity, all is meaningless. It's a chasing after the wind. Everything is a mist and disappears. And that is certainly true. It can lead you to depression, discouragement, or it can lead you to look to God. And he gets to that later. But what do we pull here? This is the end of chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes, the end of our reading for today. What do we take from this to apply to our lives? You can read back through here and take a look. I tell you, the thing, the little bit of hope out of all this discouragement, I find in verse 11 of chapter 3. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. He has made everything beautiful in its time. I'm going to focus on that today. Every person is beautiful because they're God's creation. Everything around us, every experience, because God makes it beautiful. He makes it something pleasing to him. He makes it something worthwhile, meaningful. Even as we go through things that might seem really meaningless right now. That's what I want to focus on today. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Ecclesiastes, Lord. As Solomon, the richest and wisest man in the world, takes a very practical, poetic look at everything and says, man, this is meaningless. What a waste. But he also, Lord, in the midst of that, reminds us of you. Thank you for the promise, Father, for the truth. You do make everything beautiful in your time, and I trust in that, believe in that, hope in that today. In Jesus' name, amen.